in local airports, particularly for local communities and the local economy, and in terms of critical services and things like agriculture.
Yeah, see, my dad was a crop sprayer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was a commercial aerial applicator. That's just politically correct terminology for a crop sprayer, but that's what he was. That's what he
Absolutely.
Did.
Absolutely. Agriculture, it's critically important for, and I mean, all sorts of different services that people often are not aware of.
Sure.
Whether
well,
medical care, blood and organ transport, disaster relief, law enforcement, firefighting. People really don't often understand all the different critical services that depend on general aviation. So that's part of what we're trying to raise awareness about.
Search and rescue.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Predator control. Like
yep.
coyotes that like to eat baby lambs. They get taken care
right.
of by airplanes sometimes. Mm-hmm. This is what? Is this National General Aviation Month or week or day or something? What is going on here?
Well, actually, Governor Dugard had declared June General Aviation Appreciation Month. So we're a couple months past that. But recently, Mayor Allender, I don't know if I'm saying that
it's
name correct
it's,
also.
It's Allender, but that's
Falls.
All right. Rapid City. Mayor Allender here in Rapid City. That's who you're talking
okay.
about. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, declared July General Aviation Appreciation Month. So, you know, these types of activities just really help our cause to raise awareness about the importance and impact of general aviation. So just to give you a snapshot, while we don't have general aviation specific numbers, you have about 70 public use airports across South Dakota. And the aviation industry supports nearly $800 million in state business sales, over 7,000 jobs, and an income of over $250 million. So there's quite a footprint in all of those critical services that I mentioned that really depend on general aviation and our network of airports. And these activities, like declaring June General Aviation Appreciation Month, really help to raise awareness about the importance and economic impact of general aviation.
So when we talk general aviation, obviously we're ruling out military aviation. Are we ruling out commercial aviation in terms of air carriers, airliners?
Correct. General aviation is all non-military, non-commercial aviation. So it's basically everything that is unscheduled service.
Okay.
And that excludes cargo as well.
Okay. So UPS planes don't qualify.
No, so it's, you know, your local flight schools that are doing training. It's those search and rescue. It's
air ambulance,
you know, the firefighting air ambulance. It's companies that, you know, companies that may use an airplane to get to far off in rural markets. It's, as we said, the crop dusters. So it's a lot of different kind of different components that encompass general aviation.
Selena, why do you need why is public awareness important to general aviation?
I think because most people, you know, generally have gotten on a commercial aircraft at one point or another. And they, you know, you see commercial aircraft, it's just much more visible. People understand how it is important for our economy. But we have found that that's less the case with general aviation. Unless you're someone who relies on general aviation to do agricultural spraying or surveying, or your company uses an aircraft, or you know, you've gotten airlifted out of somewhere, or, you know, you are a pilot training. People just maybe aren't aware of all the different kind of components of our economy and communities that depend on general aviation. So I think that's why it's all the more important for us to have these types of proclamations and to raise awareness about its impact.
I just thought of another general aviation thing. We got a guy here in the Black Hills, calls himself the Jolly Roger, and he flies a Piper Cub. And he pulls a message sign behind it now and again.
Exactly. Yeah. All of those types of things. I mean, and then you talk about general aviation airports. I mean, we have over 5,000 airports around the United States. The vast majority of commercial service goes through about 30 of them. So that's just thousands and thousands of communities that are really connected through general aviation and those local airports. And then, you know, you have the examples, like you're saying, the people that pull the signs in back of the planes. You have the people at the airport that service and work on and repair those airplanes, you know, the gas, all of that local activity. It's really a ripple effect and a lot of different layers of economic impact that depend on those airports and aircraft.
Do you know, you've probably never been to South Dakota, huh? Have you ever been to South Dakota, Selena?
I'm thinking I believe I have actually been to Sioux Falls.
Okay, all right.
It's been a couple years past
Well, you come.
I have. I've been to North and South Dakota, both, of course, as part of this job, trying to raise and spread the word about the importance of general aviation, particularly to rural communities.
Well, South Dakota is a very rural state, and we've got airports out there in little tiny towns, towns of maybe 250, 300 people population. They got an airport. And out here in western South Dakota, southwest North Dakota, some of these ranches are far flung out there, and they might be 60, 70 miles away from groceries. Seriously.
Right.
And so some of these, there is very common for ranchers out there to be pilots, and they'll be flying a little Cessna 172 or something like that, or a 150 or a 180 or a Piper Cub or a Super Cub, and they'll fly those things to town to get groceries and machinery parts or to visit the dentist. So, yeah, they usually have their own private field right there on the ranch themselves. But some of them have it at the local town that may not have a grocery store. They got a bar and a post office, and that's it. And they got an airport, is what they got. You know, and the little town where I'm from in southwest North Dakota, you've heard of the Bakken Oil Formation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, it's right on the edge of the Bakken, and there's oil production in southwest North Dakota where I come from. And it's a rural area in a little town of Bowman, North Dakota, which is about a population of 1,800 people in a county of about 4,000 people. They just built, with oil revenue tax money, they built a multi-million dollar brand new state-of-the-art airport there that can accommodate business jets. It takes a long strip to handle a jet. You know that, right?
Yep.
It takes a long strip to take off and land for business jets. And so they built that thing so that all these oil executives and oil personnel in jets can fly in and out of Bowman, North Dakota, and it's a huge economic impact for the area.
Absolutely.
So there you go.
And that is the challenge that we face. For example, we're in the middle of sort of an FAA reauthorization reauthorize the Federal Aviation Administration. And as part of that, you know, we often find that sometimes lawmakers and, you know, people here in D.C. just really don't understand how critical those airports and those aircraft are to people outside of big urban areas. They really just don't understand that, you know, food and medical care and basic business activity all depend on aviation.
In Alaska,
that's part of what we're trying to do.
In Alaska, some of the far-flung, very rural communities up there, they fly their high school basketball team to go play a game with another school. They take an airplane to fly them because they're hundreds of miles apart and there's no roads.
Mm-hmm.
So they do that there. Here in western South Dakota, we have Ellsworth Air Force Base here at Rapid City. And Ellsworth and Minot Air Force Base and other bases around the country use there's a triangle here in southeast Montana, southwest North Dakota, northwest South Dakota, that they use for low-level flight training, you know, practice bombing runs and such. And we just, it got authorized and approved, but it was rather a controversial thing here. It's a kind of a double-edged sword. Here in Rapid City, Ellsworth Air Force Base has a huge economic impact, as you can well imagine. But a lot of the general aviation pilots are concerned out there because, boy, they might be flying along in their little old Super Cub, and all of a sudden here comes a B-1 bomber at about the same altitude that they are, and then they may not even know what's coming. They may not know that it's there. So it's been controversial. The Montana congressional delegation opposed it. They were concerned, too, that those low-level flights would, you know, disturb cattle, bother the livestock and such. So it was a controversial kind of deal. But it's passed through, and it's got you know, there's two arguments to that debate. I'm wondering where you stand, where your organization stands, or what you think about the increasing phenomenon and occurrence of drones, unmanned amateur drones, privately owned drones that people are just flying around with a camera for whatever purpose. Any thoughts about those?
Yeah, I mean, it's not something that we've delved into deeply, but it's something that I'm increasingly hearing about from our members.
Yeah.
It's just a huge security concern, and I know that it is something that the FAA is working through some rulemaking, I believe, right now on. And it's something that absolutely will have to be addressed because You just see an increasing number of drones, and it definitely is a big and increasing safety concern for our members.
Well, you know what they've found already is that when there are some of these wildfires in California and they're trying to fly, you know, the fire bombers in there, or even helicopters to respond to accidents, you know, that big interstate jam up and the accidents there. During
that
fire, they've had helicopters had to suspend. They had to clear the area of the drones because people were out there just curiosity gawkers with drones and cameras on them, flying around taking a look, and it was too dangerous for you know the emergency aircraft to be flying in that same level. So yeah,
absolutely.
You're right. They're gonna have to do something with them. They're gonna have to put transponders on them or something like that, so that they can be seen on radar, so they can be identified as to who. Whose drone that was interfering, that sort of thing. They're supposed to be restricted to a certain level, I believe, of altitude that they can fly. But,
I
tell you, I think it's going to be a... I think drones, these unmanned amateur drones out there, I think are going to become a real problem. I mean, you know, take my dad. Let's say that he's flying. He's gone now. He's passed away. But let's say he's flying along. He's spraying a field, and all of a sudden there's a drone in his path. And smack, he runs into that drone. Guess what? Down he goes. I mean, some of these drones are big enough, they could take down an airplane.
No, absolutely. It is definitely a security concern. We've heard it, especially among the helicopters, but really all general aviation aircraft. It's a big and growing concern and something that, you know, our federal authorities will have to figure out how to deal with.
So, but you haven't, your organization hasn't taken an official position on this just yet?
No, we haven't. We've had some. We've increasingly heard from our members about it, and likely will. And right now, as I mentioned, kind of there's a big debate about reauthorization of the Federal Aviation Administration. So there are some things that we're taking a look at in there, and the drones is one of them, but there are a couple different things that we're kind of keeping an eye on that we keep hearing about from our members.
There are people out there that are opposed to the FAA being reauthorized?
They're not opposed to the FAA being reauthorized, but there are some that are pushing to privatize air traffic control and... While that, you know, that kind of sounds like a good idea, we're a little bit concerned and want to make sure that, you know, if you were to take away congressional oversight of our air traffic control system, that those airports of all sizes, particularly, you know, those airports we keep talking about, the smaller ones that are really that lifeline to smaller communities, you know, get represented as part of air traffic control. If you go to a privatized system where, you know, likely the biggest majority interests would have more control.
All right. Well, listen, if folks want to find out more about you, I'm sure they can just Google the Alliance for Aviation Across America. Just Google that and the site will come up. So, Selena, thank you so much for visiting with me today.
Thank you so much. It is aviationacrossamerica.com, and that has all of the economic impact of general aviation that anyone can find in South Dakota. So I appreciate the opportunity.
Aviationacrossamerica.com. Thank you, Selena. That'll do it for us today. I'm Brian Fisher.
You.
As always, good luck, goodbye, God bless you, God bless America. KIMM, Rapid City.